So the reading comes from Acts 2, verses 36 to 47. Let all Israel be assured this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen.
Let's pray together. Missionary God, the followers of Jesus waited behind locked doors, yet your Spirit came to them in power, changing them from a bewildered band into a proclaiming people. We pray for ourselves and for your whole church, that we might be open to the empowering presence of your Spirit, open to the gracious gifting of your Spirit, and open to the adventurous leading of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, as you filled those first Christians with an enthusiasm for the gospel of Christ, so enthuse us that we may go out into the streets and marketplaces of our world, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, all who heard the apostles' preaching understood in their own language. Fill us with a vision of the whole earth filled with your glory. Send us out to all people everywhere, rich and poor, powerful and oppressed, that we may be messengers of the gospel and servants of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, that first Christian community began a life of sharing in worship and in living. Fill us with a generous spirit, ready to share what we are and what we have with others. Break down our pride, that we might have the grace to receive from the riches of others. Holy Spirit, God with us, fill your people with power and love, vision and purpose, that we might be agents of your gospel for the whole world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And a moment of quiet when you can pray for those that you know and that you love on this Pentecost Sunday. And on this Pentecost Sunday, let's pray for the church around the world. Father, we pray for your people, wherever they are on this Pentecost Sunday. And especially we pray for those that are in places of violence and war, places of destruction and death, in places of famine and nature's upheaving power. We pray around the world today that you will renew your people with Pentecostal hope, restore your people with Pentecostal grace and power, and hold all your people and us in your perfect peace. Make us one in worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hands up those of you who, we're not going to do too much of this, all right. Hands up those of you who watch or enjoy watching antique show programs on the telly. Hands up those of you who have not been truthful. Yeah, does it change your life watching those programs? Are you part of that sort of gathering army of people, really, that goes into charity shops and turns the shelves upside down? You see them, don't you? You haven't been in lately. Do go in. Next, whenever you go, just go in and watch and see what people do. You can tell whether they've been watching the Antiques Roadshow. They turn everything upside down and they look carefully at the bottom. I'll tell you something which is not quite true, but it illustrates the point. You know, we were in a charity shop, and all of a sudden, there's this cry, "It's a Clarice Cliff!" And I turned round, and it was my wife. And everyone was looking at her, Clarice Cliff, and they were all dashing to try and buy it, of course, but I tried to look the other way. Now, that's not quite true, so don't start praying for her along those lines anyhow. Everyone in those shops are looking for Hallmarks, the signature on the bottom, or that which has been sort of pressed into the gold or silver, or hasn't been, as the case might be. When I look at the Acts chapter 2, what I see there is some hallmarks of the work of the Spirit, the hallmarks of the presence of the Spirit. And I just want to look at some of those with you this morning very briefly. It's great to be with you. Thank you for inviting me. The first hallmark is that of creativity. In a sense of the Spirit gives life. You remember the picture, really, what happened was that the wind, or the Old Testament Hebrew word, ruach, the ruach of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God who was there hovering over creation and bringing creation into being. The Spirit, the wind of God that blew across the Red Sea and opened up the Red Sea so that God's people could go out, could be released from the tyranny of slavery. Or you have in that lovely story in Ezekiel, the Valley of the Dry Bones, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon those dry bones, and they all sort of shook together, a rattling, I think is the way it's described. And then the breath of the Lord came into them, and they became alive. That's the Spirit's task. He brings life, creative life. And when we read the New Testament, we discover that the followers of Jesus, you and I, have become a new creation. We're not just patch-ups. We're not just do-gooders. We haven't just gained some kind of respectability. We have been created. There's a newness about us. And one of the hallmarks of the Spirit's work on the day of Pentecost and ever since has been his work in bringing people into a new relationship, making them new in the presence of God, a newness with God. And then there's holiness. I have to confess to you that when I was thinking about coming this morning a few weeks ago, I was going to talk to you about Moses and the burning bush, but then Di very sensibly and carefully and lovingly reminded me that today was Pentecost, so I had to change my mind on that. I would have caught up presumably sooner or later. You remember that lovely story of Moses meeting God in that burning bush? And as Moses turns aside to see what's happening, because the bush wasn't burning up, he hears this voice, you know, "Stop, don't come any closer. Take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground." Yeah. Barefooted in the desert, Moses enters into that holy moment with God. And then there's the sacrifices of fire that we read about in the Old Testament, these everything being set apart for God. And holiness, of course, takes us right to the very character of God. My quiet time readings this last week took me into Psalm 99. And in verses 8 and 9, we read there that our God is a God who forgives. He is a God who avenges of evil deeds. And he is a God before whom we worship on his holy hill. Holiness. The Spirit of Pentecost is the Spirit of God, and he is the one who sets us apart. We are to be holy because God is holy. We can't do that on our own. We need the Spirit to bring that sense of holiness, that place of holiness into our lives. And another characteristic, another hallmark, if you like, is that they spoke in other languages. Many, many years ago, when I was an associate minister at Red Hill in Surrey, I was looking after a daughter church, and I used to preach in the main church. They allowed me one Sunday a month. And it happened at that time to be Pentecost Sunday, and it happened to be a family service. And I was scratching my head, what to do. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll find different people in the church to speak out different languages. And so we had an English person and a Welsh person. We had French and German and just about every other language I could imagine. And I got them all together and I said, what I want you to do in one moment is to shout out Jesus is Lord in that language. And it was great. And I felt pretty pleased with myself. Well, the next year, I'd moved churches. And I thought, Pentecost Sunday? Family service? It went down well last time. Let's see if we can do it again. And I did. Then somebody afterwards came up to me and said, Norman, where was the Welsh language? He'd been spying on me. He'd come to see what I was like, and he obviously found out what I liked, what it was okay to him. So I was called to this church, and he said, you forgot the Welsh language. On the day of Pentecost, no one was missed out, were they? No one was missed out on the day of Pentecost. Communication is huge today, isn't it? I don't answer this question, but how many times have you looked at your mobile so far today? I have. I'm sure most of us who've got a mobile have. During services, I have to hand mine over to my wife in case I start looking at it during this. We are communicators. We're communicators of good news. What did the people say? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Relating to others the good news in ways that they hear. That's what we're about. It's words, it's actions, attitudes, lifestyles. In a way that doesn't compromise or water down the truth. Little wonder we need some outside help to do that. This is part of the Spirit's ministry. To make the ever-relevant gospel of faith in Jesus relevant in our worlds, in your world and in my world. We need the Spirit's enabling. We need the Spirit's presence. We need the Spirit's filling in order to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So the hallmarks so far, creativity, holiness, communication. And another hallmark, I think this is probably one of the main ones, is the focus on Jesus. The focus on Jesus. Because Jesus is more than a good man that we find written on the pages of history. He's more than an exemplary teacher to listen to, and to listen to with care as well, because he's a great teacher. And on that day of Pentecost, as Peter gets up after being filled with the Spirit, What does he talk about? He talks about Jesus. The focus is on Jesus. He talks about Jesus as the one who was chosen by God. It's God's choice. It's all about God's activity. Jesus is God. He talks about the crucified Jesus, the Jesus that went to the cross, that took upon himself the sins of the world, that died there so that we might be forgiven, that we might have peace with God and know new life. The focus is on the crucified Jesus, but it's also on the Jesus who was raised again, the crown Jesus, if you like, the Jesus who rose victorious, who triumphed over death, the Jesus who ascended into heaven and who is one day coming again. This is the focal point of Pentecost. This is the heart of Pentecost. It focuses upon Jesus. The Spirit always does that, pointing us, focusing our attention, focusing our lives, centering them upon Jesus Christ. And what happened when the focus was on Jesus that day? 3,000 people became followers of Jesus. Not just that day. After that, daily, those who were being saved joined the early church. And another hallmark of the Spirit, the day of Pentecost, is the Spirit-filled church that came out of it. And what were the main things about that church? Well, teaching. They listened to the teaching. Why did they listen to the teaching so avidly? Why is it the number one thing on the list? I'll tell you why. They'd fallen in love with Jesus. They'd rejected him a few weeks ago. Now they were falling in love with him. And they wanted to know more about him. They wanted to know more about who he was, what he was like, what his teaching was. They'd fallen in love and they just couldn't get enough of the teaching of Jesus. They wanted to know more and more. Then there was fellowship. Once the barrier between them and God had been dismantled by this Jesus, they were free to enjoy a new togetherness together. This hospitality became one of the central expressions of their newfound love and joy. They bubbled over with generosity. They opened their homes. They shared their food. This Spirit-filled church was a place of prayer as well. Their new lives were anchored in the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they prayed. And in their prayers, they worshiped this God. They confessed their sins. They laid down their lives, their hearts in adoration before this God in prayer. They reached out their hands to him in dependence. They sought his guidance. Everything about their new life, they wanted to anchor it in prayer because prayer was that sort of that vital link between them and God. And then there was joy as well. You know, when we are in a bad situation, we sometimes use the expression, you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. Don't use it very often these days, thankfully. You could cut the atmosphere with a knife. But that's not here in the early church. Here is heavenly joy. You remember that lovely story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15 about the shepherd who'd lost a sheep and the wife who'd lost a coin. And when they found it, there was great joy. They had a party, and Jesus says there's an even greater party in heaven over one sinner who repents. That joy, that partying spirit that Jesus mentioned there is right here. And this joy is not linked to circumstances, but with the Spirit's presence. When Peter wrote his letter later, he said, "You haven't seen Jesus, but you love him, and you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because of your faith and your salvation." So there we have some of the hallmarks. You could probably go and sift your way through Acts chapter 2 and find some more. The Spirit's creativity, the new life that he brings. The Spirit of holiness, who brings us into the very presence of God. Spirit of communication, sharing the good news of Jesus, focused upon Jesus. A Spirit-filled church. Di tried to get hold of me while I was in Scotland recently. She wasn't to know I was there. A few days before then, I didn't know I was going to be there. It was my grandson's fault. He'd been up there with his dad and with a couple of other friends, and they'd been playing golf. And he came back and he said to his mom, "I think Granddad would quite like Dundee." So we just sat down and got my mobile phone out and booked train tickets to Dundee, a couple of nights in a Premier Inn. Went up on the Wednesday, looked around on the Thursday, came back on the Friday, done. And then I had this email from Premier Inn saying, "Would I please go through this and tick the boxes that applied? They wanted some feedback." And so I did, you know, comfort and friendliness and so on and so forth. What I want to say to you this morning is that these hallmarks of the Spirit that we find here in Acts chapter 2, it's not a tick list. They're not a tick list to be ticked off, but they're an invitation, really. They're an invitation to a life to be lived, to be embraced by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The hallmarks that we find in this chapter are like the start of a journey, a relationship journey, a journey of incredible love, a gospel journey. Here we discover darkness gives way to light, despair is gone and hope is renewed, chains that have held us have been released, brokenness is gone, we've been made whole, separation, there's now embrace. Fear, there's now companionship. And in all this, in all these, heaven is foretasted and we're invited on this journey that embraces these lovely characteristics. But more than that, as I said, it's not a list. It's a relationship. It's God relating to you and to me. And the destination is glory, eternal glory, everlasting glory. The day of Pentecost, it's not just history, it's for today. Because I believe that the one thing that God wants for each one of us is to fill us afresh with his Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that your word is a living word. And that the day of Pentecost is not just an historical day, but it's a day that is alive. Because the Spirit is alive, your Spirit is alive. And we would ask that you will help us to open our lives afresh this morning. To your love as a father who loves his children, to a Savior who gave his life for us, and to the Spirit who longs to indwell us more and more. And so we ask that in your love for us, in that grace for us, you will fill us with yourself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And may our lives glorify you forevermore. Amen.